coming up on KUCB News, local officials pushed for a larger military presence during the Navy's recent visit, and the contested races in Unalaska's election will be decided tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. After both contests were too close to call on election night, the races for Unalaska's mayor and school board seat D will be decided tomorrow by 49 absentee and questioned ballots. Election officials will canvass those ballots at 10 o'clock in the morning at City Hall, and KUCB will bring you the final results live as soon as they become available. Right now, in the mayor's race, Unalaska Corporation Chairman Vince Tudiakoff Sr. holds a 23-vote lead over current Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson. Meanwhile, for the school board, former teacher Josh Good leads incumbent Denise Rankin by 22 votes. A U.S. Navy warship called on Unalaska last week, marking the branch's first visit since the closure of ADAC's base in the 90s. While city and tribal officials took the opportunity to push for a larger military presence on the island, other community members were wary of the crowds and chaos that came with 1,000 extra people. After the USS Somerset pulled into port, Mayor Frank Kelty went aboard to meet with U.S. Navy and Marine Corps leaders. Talking with them on the 25,000-ton vessel based out of San Diego, he stressed Unalaska's strategic location.
We're the only ice-free port in the area that could support operations in the Arctic.
The Arctic is increasingly important to the U.S. military. For the first time in 30 years, the Navy and Marine Corps traveled to the Aleutian Islands last month to train and test their capabilities in a cold climate environment. According to the Somerset's commanding officer, Captain Stuart Bedeshansky, the large-scale exercises in ADAC were a good first start.
It tells us that Mother Nature always gets a vote, and she may exercise her vote multiple times over. And we have to continue to feel out what we're capable of, what else we want to be capable of, and what our limits are. So we felt that out and feel pretty good about what we saw.
It's still unclear if or when the military branches will spend more time in Aleutian waters, or if they'll bring the federal money that local officials are interested in. But Lieutenant Colonel Josh Anderson of the Marines told local officials that they were excited to spend 4 days in Unalaska during the course of their trip.
The Marines and sailors are really enjoying their time in the city. This morning, a number of them got up, made some hikes up the hills and the trails. I know a number of them are hoping to get out and cast a few lines and go fishing. So it really is a terrific opportunity for them to be here and explore.
Sailors and Marines were all over town during their time off the ship, buying novelty sweatshirts at the grocery store, using the library's internet to catch up with family, and of course, eating, drinking, and singing karaoke at the bars and restaurants. While businesses like the Norwegian Rat Saloon reported a profitable uptick in customers, bartender Jasmine Shapsnikov says it was also chaos.
There wasn't even standing room. You were elbow to elbow with your person.
Even though the Rat prepared by setting up an extra bar and thawing hamburger patties in advance, Shapsnikov says they still ran out of ice, had their soda guns break, and struggled to accommodate the surge of people.
And trying to get a drink, we had both lines going and that bar in the back, and it was insane. Like, I had local people come up and hold napkins. Locals over here, like, they wanted a drink, and I'm like, I see you, I'm gonna get to you, like, oh my gosh. And so it was insane.
Still, local police say they found the military guests to be respectful overall. Sergeant Patrick Bliss says there was an increase in police calls over the weekend, but it wasn't exclusively caused by the visitors, who had a nightly curfew.
We had a very busy weekend, probably starting Thursday night. However, of all of our calls of service, I think only maybe two or three involved any service members. I thought all went well, considering the influx of people. And from our perspective, it was a positive experience for us at the department.
With Arctic sea ice melting, shipping traffic increasing, and shifting defense priorities, U.S. policymakers and military leaders are still weighing how Alaska and the Aleutians will fit into their bigger picture. Whatever happens, City Manager Erin Reinders says she was glad for the recent opportunity to introduce the Navy and Marines to Unalaska, where the only current military presence is a 7-person Coast Guard unit focused on fishing boat safety.
The fact is we are in a very strategic location, you know, with shipping routes and just by where we're at geographically, that we might attract some folks. And then it's up to us as a community to work with anybody that we're attracting, be they military presence or, you know, or otherwise, to talk about how that might impact our town and, you know, how we can kind of make the best of those situations.
Reinders says the city is inviting island residents to weigh in on the possibility of an increased military presence as officials continue updating Unalaska's comprehensive plan. It'll outline the city's priorities for the next decade. Unalaska's cross-country team heads to the state competition today. According to senior captain Henry Simmons, the Raiders are on track to make a run at their first title after breaking personal records all season long.
Lately, like, we've seen a lot of progress. All of us are getting PRs, like season PRs, career PRs, like every weekend. It's been phenomenal for us.
The Raider boys have qualified for state as a full team, which includes Simmons, Blaine Henning, Mike Parite, Jonathan Parite, Herwin Riadil, Eldred Paradesa, and Casey Balbarino. On the girls' side, Marina Jones has qualified as an individual runner. Simmons says all of his teammates in Unalaska's small program should benefit from a recent structural change at the competition.
They've changed up how we race now for state. It used to be 1, 2, and 3A schools run together and then 4A schools by themselves. But this year for state, it's just 1 and 2A schools. So that really opens up more opportunity for the smaller schools like us to actually like win state.
While the Raiders have high hopes, Simmons says they'll still need to stay focused and run well to improve on their best ever state finish at fifth place. The cross-country competition starts Saturday morning at Anchorage's Bartlett High School. The boys run first at 10 o'clock, followed by the girls at 10:45. Tomorrow marks KUCB's annual pledge drive, and this year, General Manager Lauren Adams says the 24-hour fundraiser is more important than ever.
It's your radio station, it's the community's radio station, and in order to succeed, we really do need the community to contribute. And this year more than ever, because of the fact that our funding cuts were so heavy this year.
KUCB lost about 12% of its budget due to state funding vetoes to public media. Those who donate and help KUCB offset that loss will earn thank you gifts including stickers, sweatshirts, Optumera Wi-Fi, and entries into a drawing for an Alaska Airlines ticket. You can listen to the fundraiser and all of its live music tomorrow here on 89.7 FM or stream it at KUCB.org. You can also watch it on Channel 8 TV. Unalaska Community Broadcasting has covered local and regional news for the past 20 years. And to mark that anniversary, KUCB is spending every Thursday of 2019 looking back at our former reporters and sharing some of their stories. This month, we're focusing on Greta Mart, who worked in the newsroom in 2015 and 16. She spoke with KUCB's Laura Craigle about her experience, which started when General Manager Lauren Adams tapped her for a temporary gig.
So Lauren said, hey, would you be interested in coming out and filling in here for 3 months? You know, I looked on the map. I'm like, the Aleutian Islands. And I looked way out there on Alaska. And I said, sure, you know, I can go anywhere for 3 months. Who can't? And, of course, fell in love with it. And I ended up staying almost a year.
And tell me about your very first story for KUCB. I know it was a big one.
My very first story was covering a board meeting of the Museum of the Aleutians, and it was the Bible story. An employee came to the board and said that she had house sat for Zoya Johnson, who was then the executive director, and that she had found an artifact from the museum's collection in Zoya's home. And the board really didn't, you know, they deliberated what they should do about it, and then they decided to put her on paid administrative leave. And so I simply reported that. And I was immediately attacked by Zoya. You know, she was going to sue me and she was going to sue KUCB. And here, this is my first day. This is my first assignment. And it really upset me to the point where I got hives. I broke out in hives because I was so upset about this. John Ryan, you know, he had edited my story. And so we went back over it word for word, and we made sure that, you know, there was no errors and there was no, I was just simply reporting on a public meeting. But it was really, you know, it was very unpleasant to go to a very small town and have that be my first experience where I've completely alienated and made a very potent enemy out of a member of the city council, and who is also the executive director of the museum, and who has a lot of friends and history there. And here, who am I just showing up and just reporting on a public meeting? Yet it was definitely a case of, you know, let's kill the messenger.
That is a very intense way to start a new job, for sure. And I know that all or most of KUCB's reporters have found themselves in at least somewhat similar situations covering the sensitive issues in our small community. What did you learn from the experience?
Well, it made me a better reporter, that's for sure. Because when you have to, you know, when you have to go about and doubt yourself, now, did I get something wrong? Was, you know, did I report everything as accurately as it transpired? And but the answer was yes. And so it kind of gave me a little bit of confidence. But it also, I really ensure that every single story I have produced since then is bulletproof because I know what can happen. And I really believe that that is crucial to fair and balanced coverage of a community. I think it's really important to have reporters come from the outside and not have reporters who have grown up there, because it's just, it's inextricably bound your personal life. It's so hard to separate that and be able to be an effective reporter. I think it's really important to have outside people come in.
And that's really interesting, I think, because as a reporter, you definitely need some of that distance so you can do your job fairly and accurately. But at the same time, you really do need to be a part of the community and understand what's going on.
Yes, exactly. So I felt it was really a challenge to kind of go talk to the tribe and get in a position where I felt like anyone was really actually giving me any information. So that was an instance where I think it would take a lot of time to earn a position of trust as a reporter to be able to really report on the inner workings of, like, the tribe. And so I did feel like I never really got that experience. I never was there long enough to foster that trust required to report on really serious, more serious, like, kind of internal topics.
I know I'm really with you on that. I've been on the island and with KUCB for about 3 years, and it's still very difficult to get into some subjects or to access some parts of the community. It takes time and trust.
I wish I would have had more of that opportunity. I wish I, because as you said, you've been there 3 years and maybe you have to be there 10 years. I don't know how long you have to be someplace or if you're ever able to get into that position. But I can see there's a real dichotomy between that, between outside reporters coming in and being able to report in a fair and balanced and unbiased way, because you don't have connections, you don't have allegiances to one thing or biases towards, you know, another group or anything like that. So that's beneficial. But on the other hand, it's also, are you really getting into reporting that actually matters to the people that live there? So I spent a lot of time thinking about that while I was there.
And is there any chance that we'll see you back in Unalaska at some point? You know, any plans to visit?
I really want to come back. One of my greatest regrets is that I purposely stayed longer because I had my heart set on taking the ferry out of there. I bought a cabin and I was going to take it to Homer and then fly home from there. And I was booked on the first ferry of the season. And it was the Tusty, of course, the Rusty Tusty went into the shop. It was broken. And so they canceled it. And so I had to fly out. And so that's one of my regrets. I desperately want to come back and do that trip of taking the ferry along the Aleutian Islands.
That was Greta Mart, the 10th reporter in the history of Unalaska Community Broadcasting. Join us each Thursday for the rest of this month when we'll be re-airing some of her stories as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. You can also check out Mart's current work at KCBX Radio in San Luis Obispo, California, where she serves as a news director. The Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association is meeting tonight at the library. They'll convene at 5 o'clock to discuss cod issues under consideration by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. The Cowalungan Tribal Council is also meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at the tribe's office. Then tomorrow, the Coastal Observation and Seabird Survey Team is holding a seabird training for community members. Coast Coordinator Hillary Burgess says they'll learn how to collect local data on beached birds to help those studying the state's recent slew of mass mortalities.
Unalaska is a very rich place in terms of bird diversity and marine resources. So to really get a grasp on the magnitude and duration and extent of these sorts of die-offs, Unalaska is really kind of an essential piece in the puzzle.
The seabird training starts tomorrow morning at 9:30 and runs until 3:30. And finally, on Saturday, the City of Unalaska is holding a community forum to discuss what Unalaska should look like in 2030 as part of its comprehensive planning. The forum starts at noon at the Grand Aleutian Hotel. For details on any of these upcoming events, check out our online community calendar at kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
Mm-hmm.